You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3.
Coming up in 30 minutes' time, we're presenting our 2018 Turkeys of the Year so far. Like, forget about sharing thanks today. I told the woman at the Starbucks drive-thru, Happy Thanksgiving. I told my in-laws, Happy Thanksgiving. I tell everyone Happy Thanksgiving that I see over the course of this long weekend. Time to get down to business and crown the turkeys of 2018. It shouldn't be difficult, Dave. The most difficult thing, actually, is remembering all the people and all the individuals who acted like turkeys over the last 8 months or so.
Yeah, but a lot of them stick in my mind.
Do they?
A lot of them stick in my mind. It'll be a fun exercise. And I may name you a turkey for picking apple cranberry pie as your Thanksgiving pie.
It's delicious.
It's the wrong pie.
I'm going to have that tonight, Dave.
It's the wrong pie.
I'll send you pictures, selfies of me eating the apple cranberry pie.
I just feel like you're overstepping there. You just can't name a pie a Thanksgiving pie. You need to go with the traditional pumpkin pie.
And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not a big selfie guy. And I would never take a selfie and send it to you. This is the one phenomenon in our industry today that I don't understand.
Okay.
People that are writers or hosts or whatever, getting glamour shots, having some random person take professional photography of you in random settings, and then sending it out on Instagram and Twitter. I'm like, what? One, who's following you around to take those pictures? And two, why? Just why? It is so weird. 2018 boggles my mind in a lot of different ways.
I'm 100% behind you. We were talking about Jeannie Bouchard earlier and how,
right,
you know, Mark Masters. We had the great tennis reporter and Maple Leafs reporter Mark Masters, who I believe Jeannie has called him her favorite reporter. But my question is, like, Jeannie Bouchard is an Instagram phenomenon. Does she have, like, an Instagram staff that follow her around everywhere she goes and look for really good light where they could take a shot? Like, because these aren't, like, cheaply, you know, sort of ripped off iPhone shots. These are, like, professional photographs, it seems like, that she posts on her many travels around the globe that feed her incessant Instagram audience. And I just don't know the logistics of this. Like, who does she must have some sort of Instagram makeup and photo stuff.
Well, that's the thing. Like, once in a while, putting up pictures of you and your friends and your life. Yeah, I get it. Or like, hey, tonight we're covering the Raptors. I get that. But that's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about the full-blown glamour shots that people put out there.
It's impressive to me. I mean,
it's work. It's
an industry within itself.
Right.
And the Kardashians have colonized it, and now Jeannie Bouchard wants her slice.
Right. Before Scott Burnside joins us, I want to bring up the Toronto Raptors. They had an open practice yesterday at the Mattamy, which is a great facility right at Ryerson.
We call it Maple Leaf Gardens in my house.
Sure, yes. Now kids call it, oh, you mean the place above the grocery store?
Exactly.
Like, I used to live right there, right at Carlton and Yonge. So
I did have a kid. I was driving a kid when they first opened that joint, when I was driving a bunch of kids to hockey practice, and one of them said to me, why did the Maple Leafs used to play in a grocery store? Because I told them that's where the Maple Leafs used to play. And they just could not comprehend it.
Yeah, right.
So amazing how time flies and generations just kind of gloss over the fact that the city used to be different.
Because there's no parking. Like, it's just, it's unassuming in comparison to modern day stadiums and arenas and rinks and all that. But the Raptors held an open practice, which is a great idea. I mean, the Maple Leafs did the same thing in Niagara Falls. And people are lined up down the street, around the corner from first thing in the morning. By all accounts, it wasn't well attended. The Raptors open practice yesterday. Ryan Wolstad of The Sun was down there. He said, you know, it's a cool event, but, you know, not many people here. And I followed up with him. He said, yeah, it sounded like it was because you had to pick up your tickets right there on location at the day. And it was on a Thanksgiving Sunday. What I hope, Dave, is a lack of people coming out for the team doesn't reflect upon a lack of interest in the team. Because although there's a lot of hype about the Maple Leafs right now, I look at the Raptors and where they're at and this team and the potential they have the potential to go deeper and further than the Maple Leafs just by virtue of the conference they play in, the playoff setup, and now that you have Kawhi Leonard in a sport where you need superstars to really hit that next level, the Raptors tick all of the boxes.
Yeah.
And I think there's reason to be really, really, really excited about what we're all about to bear witness to starting in about a week and a half from now.
Oh, no doubt about it. This is going to be a fascinating Raptor season, just like it's going to be a really fun Maple Leaf season. And we haven't had a moment in anything resembling recent history, or really, we had, like, let me rephrase that. We haven't had a moment like this where both these franchises had a chance to be great, had a chance to be, in the case of the Raptors, an NBA finalist for sure, and in the case of the Leafs, a Stanley Cup winner, because that's what these two teams can become. Barring, you know, massive injuries en masse for the Golden State Warriors that make the possibility that somebody else can win the championship real in the NBA. I think maybe the problem with the Raptors, Wheels, and why that little open practice at Mattamy Maple Leaf Gardens Center, whatever they're calling it these days, why it wasn't well attended is because, you know, in some ways the Raptors have set themselves up for people to be sort of in wake me up when it's the playoffs mode. Like, wake me up when it's April. Because, you know, Nick Nurse has said as much when he was anointed the new coach. This team will not be judged on how it plays through those 82 games. This team won't be judged on whether it wins 50 or 52 or 55 or 60 games. That won't matter to anybody. It's all about how they do from April on.
Well, I will. You're right. They won't be judged, but there's much more reason to watch and be intrigued over the course of the regular season now because they made tangible changes.
Yes.
Right? Like, if it was Casey and DeRozan and Lowry, if the band was still together and no LeBron in the East, that's exactly what you would have said. Wake me up when the playoffs come. But now you get to watch Kawhi Leonard on a nightly basis. How's he going to respond? How's he going to fit in? What's this new head coach bringing to the table that's different than the other coach? There are far more reasons to be consumed on a regular with this team than previous iterations of it. I'm excited to see how it all comes together.
Yeah.
And that's going to be part of the intrigue, is the process and the way that it plays out.
Yeah, it will, but I'm going to be glued to it because I think Nick Nurse is going to be a fascinating character to watch here, because he's talked about how he's going to throw out the playbook. Like, he's going to rewrite the way they play basketball in Toronto, which I love. I love a coach that comes in and says, status quo, it's not for me. I'm going to experiment. I'm going to try different things. Now, that's dangerous because, you know, the coaches that do that, you know, have a history of not doing well because it's a risk. But if Kawhi Leonard is the Kawhi Leonard we've come to know as an elite top five player in this league, and if Kyle Lowry hasn't diminished too much and all the rest of the young guys have continued to progress, yeah, this is going to be a great team, and the coach will be able to get away with a lot of experimentation
right,
and still get wins.
Just hoping that the lack of a really overwhelming turnout yesterday doesn't reflect upon the actual interest in this market. And I do not. It's weird. They've kind of bailed on the preseason. They played the Friday night at home, and Kawhi didn't even play. So, look, they only played five games, only one at home. So it's kind of one of those things where right now doesn't matter. Wake me up in a week and a half.
100%.
Well, we should say wake you up on Wednesday night, because that's our first preseason coverage from Montreal as the Raptors
take on.
Raptors play in preseason. In action on Wednesday night right here on TSN 1050. I haven't caught up with Scott Burnside for quite some time. This time last year was working with the Dallas Stars, who the Maple Leafs happened to play tomorrow night down in Big D. Now a national hockey writer for The Athletic. Congratulations to him on the new endeavor. And it is Scott Burnside at Overtime Scott B on Twitter. How are you doing, Scott?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Yeah, I'm sort of, I was feeling a little bit, a year ago was right in the heavy grind of being virtually at every game with the Dallas Stars, and I'm assuming it must be me. It's either me or Ken Hitchcock. I'm not sure what it is. The Stars off to a much better start a year ago. It's funny, we were talking about a lot about it, but happened to be at the very first Vegas Golden Knights game. They opened the season in Dallas a year ago and won on a late goal, I believe by James Neal. And then the Stars went off and lost to St. Louis the next night. Their charter broke down, and you know, it took a while for the Stars to get going, but obviously off to a much better start. And you know, with Jim Montgomery, the rookie head coach there, and Ben Bishop off to a really, you know, a phenomenal start. I know he was named one of the players of the week, and that was something that it took Ben Bishop a long time last year, really, I think, to get into the kind of groove that people were expecting off the hop. And, man, if he is going to play like this consistently throughout the season, this is a Dallas team that this season could be what I think a lot of us, I had, was one of them, but I think a lot of people imagined they would be a year ago.
Right, and when I look at this team, I mean, the talent jumps off the page, and Seguin and Ben and players of that ilk, but what happened before the season even started, puck dropped, was Tyler Seguin signed that contract extension, and it was a number under that $10 million mark, and I'm thinking to myself, wow, did Seguin leave money on the table, what he could have actually got in free agency here, Scott? Because up here in Toronto, I mean, they signed the big fish of last year's free agent market in John Tavares for $1 million per year. So either Seguin loves it or maybe just wanted to kind of stay there and be part of that build as they look to create something special in Dallas. What's your read on how that situation played out?
Well, I don't think there's any question if Tyler Seguin goes to free agency, and even if he had gone the route that Steven Stamkos did, which is to go to free agency, poke around, see what is out there, and then ultimately go back as Steven Stamkos did with Tampa, there's no question. I think there is more money to be had there. But you know, having spent a lot of time around Tyler Seguin, and especially last year under Ken Hitchcock, his game evolved so dramatically in terms of the responsibility that he was given and how he embraced it. You know, he claims he has never killed penalties before last year, but became a very, very good penalty killer a year ago. And his all-round game, you know, I know Ken Hitchcock liked to call it a 1A, the not just a number one center, but a 1A, a guy who can play 200 feet, who can do all of the things that, you know, players that we think of, Andre Kopitar, Jonathan Tay, Sidney Crosby, John Tavares, obviously. You go down that list. For me, Tyler Seguin has became that player under Ken Hitchcock. His offense didn't suffer at all. He scored 40 goals. And, you know, with all due respect to Jamie Benn, I mean, to me, he is the de facto captain of that team. He is the face of the franchise. He is the guy that makes that run in Dallas. And I think it was important to him to be part of, you know, especially, you know, when he's still a young man, but when he left Boston, a lot of, you know, parting shots, that's sort of a big city market kind of thing, right? When the young star leaves, people kick him in the shins on the way out. It happened to Tyler Seguin when he left Boston and went to Dallas. I think it's really important to him to be part of the leadership group and to be part of something. You know, that's a franchise that they've missed the playoffs 8 of 10 years, right? It has not been a franchise that has been awash in success. And I think it's really important to Tyler Seguin to be part of that. And I think he is well suited, you know, even though this is the third head coach he's played for in the last 3 years, I think he's set for a monster year. And, you know, if they stay healthy in goal, you know, Ben Bishop got hurt in March and it cost the Stars a playoff spot. But if Ben Bishop stays healthy and Anton Khudobin is the kind of backup that allows a good 1-2 punch there, this is definitely a playoff team and maybe a team that puts some pressure on the elite in the Central Division, Nashville and Winnipeg. And it'll be fascinating to see. I thought it was going to happen last year. It didn't. But I think certainly the start in Dallas suggests good things this year.
Hmm. So, Scotty, you wrote a piece on theathletic.com that really struck me about the 15th anniversary of the tragic passing of Dan Snyder.
Yes.
Who played, of course, for the now-defunct Atlanta Thrashers, or I guess not, moved to Winnipeg Atlanta Thrashers.
I can't believe it's been 15 years.
Yeah, I was just saying, it really struck me, A, for how time flies, because it seems like a fairly recent event, and B, just how devastating that death was. And I guess, what strikes you, if you're going to summarize the piece, what sticks with you about the impact that Snyder's death has had on the hockey community?
Yeah, well, you know, and the genesis of the piece was just that. I happened to be having a beverage or two with a friend of mine who used to cover the Thrashers and actually wrote a book about the aftermath of the accident, John Manasso. And he worked for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution at the time. And he was the one who brought it up. He said, you know, can you believe that 15 years ago, you know, was the accident? I had just moved to Atlanta from Toronto. It gives you pause really to think about the amount of time. And so I thought, starting calling people around, it was really taken aback, I guess, by just how much people still remember Dan Snyder and more than that, honor his legacy and honor the kind of person he was, especially the kind of player who was dedicated to his craft. He wasn't a flashy player, not a high draft pick. Was a player who got to the NHL on sheer dint of will and determination. And the Winnipeg Jets still honor him with an award every year. The Chicago Wolves, where he won a championship with the American Hockey League Wolves in his first year in the AHL. The Orlando Solar Bears, they're in the ECHL now. When Dan Snyder played for them, they were in the old International Hockey League, won a championship there. They still honor Dan Snyder with an award. And in talking to Dan's brother, Jake, and his father, Graham, there's an arena in Elmira that bears his name. And to me, those are important things to remember. It's a player who played, I think it was 47 NHL games, fewer than 100 games for sure. But his memory still lives in a very tangible, meaningful way. And when you talk to people who played alongside him and coached him and who were general managers, even a guy like Connor Hellebuck, who wears Dan Snyder's number now for the Winnipeg Jets, called the family, asked if it would be okay if he wore Dan's number. And, you know, it's a sort of sign of respect and also a reminder to players who may not even have known who he was, how important those kinds of qualities are and how they live on even after a tragic accident like the one that was involved Dan Snyder and, of course, Danny Heatley, who was driving the car at the time. And, you know, you can drive yourself crazy thinking about what would have happened, what mm-hmm. the franchise might have been like if the accident hadn't have happened or if it had turned out a different way. You know, what would Dan Heatley's career have been like? All those things. You know, when you talk to the family, have forgiven, you know, forgave Danny Heatley right from the get-go, have really handled all of this with incredible grace and dignity. And I think those are the kinds of things that, you know, I'm glad that we were able to remind people that A, this happened, and that Dan Snyder is not forgotten.
You can read that fine piece on theathletic.com in the NHL section, or you can go to Overtime Scott B on Twitter and just scroll down a few tweets, and you can find the link to that great story. Scott Burnside joining us here on TSN Radio. I'm Wheeler. He's Fezcik. You and your team, Scott, like many publications do, have the unenviable task of making NHL predictions. In this league, it is extremely difficult, to say the least. The way the Avalanche went from arguably the worst team in NHL history to a playoff team, what happened with the Golden Knights last year. I mean, the list goes on and on. Yet, we start building impressions as the season moves forward. Just, we're about a week in, 5 days into the NHL season. Do you have any initial impressions, initial feels about the way that this whole thing may play out?
Yeah, well, I'd like to think that I'm going to go 2 for 2 after picking Washington every year for maybe 20 years. Maybe it was 15, I can't remember.
They were due.
They actually did win one. That's like the blind squirrel, right? So I feel justified. And I sort of went back to, and I did pick the Capitals a year ago, and I have them going back to the final. I know that that's unrealistic given what history tells us, in spite of Pittsburgh's back-to-back cup win recently. But
they're a good team, Scott. They're a really good team, Scott.
Yeah, they are. But I went with Nashville this year. And again, having covered, I covered Nashville, Colorado in the first round, and then a terrific series in the second round against Winnipeg, of course, going 7 games. And I just think that maybe this is the year that, not unlike Washington, that having been knocked down a couple of times, that the Predators get it right. And I love how they're built. And I just think that maybe this is the year that the Pekka Rinne gets it right at the critical times in the playoffs. But, you know, you're asked for early perceptions, and you wonder, you know, the team that I really was really curious about going into this season in the Central Division was St. Louis, and really like what Doug Armstrong had done in the offseason with Ryan O'Reilly coming in and Patrick Maroon coming home to St. Louis and Tyler Bozak. But early on, really, you know, sort of difficult goaltending issues, and that's been really an issue for the Blues the last two or three years. You know, Jake Allen, you know, at various times during almost every season, not quite getting it right, and then, you know, the Blues falling short. And of course, last year they lost in Game 82 and missed the playoffs. But I really like them as a team that, again, I thought could challenge at the top of the Central. And but they're going to have to, their goaltending just, you know, it's like every team. If your goaltending is shoddy or questionable, it just destroys everything else in the room. Everything feeds from your goaltending, of course, and it'll be interesting to see if Jake Allen can get it together again as perilously early. But and does Doug Armstrong, who sort of built this team to win right now, if you think about, I'm stealing this from Pierre LeBrun. He and I talked about it on our podcast last week. So it'll be like I'm taking his idea and making it my own. But there are going to be, you know, what about Sergei Bobrovsky? And, you know, he's made it clear that, you know, certainly not going to be signing an extension in Columbus anytime soon, and I think the feeling is probably not ever. So is that, you know, does that become an option? And, you know, I just wonder out loud, a guy like Henrik Lundqvist, you know, clearly things not, you know, this is total rebuild in New York with the Rangers. Would Henrik Lundqvist like a change of scenery? Is the possibility there at some point, you know, to, for him to make a move as he goes, you know, towards the twilight of his career? I think he's got 2 years left on his deal. But right. It'll be interesting to me to see what St. Louis does if the goaltending doesn't, you know, sort of even itself out in a, you know, in fairly short order. Because I think they're a team that if they do get the goaltending, I think they're a team that should challenge in the Western Conference. So that's one of my sort of one-week-in impressions.
Well, Leaf fans, of course, Scotty, are highly offended that you haven't even mentioned the blue and white in your early impressions of the
season.
There's
other teams in this league?
And there are
okay.
other teams, apparently.
Okay, good.
30 others that Scotty's more fixated on, and shame on you, Burnside, as a former Toronto Sun and Toronto Sun reporter and Toronto resident, National Post reporter. But what do you think of these Leafs, Scotty? Because you're picking the Predators to do well this year, and obviously they probably have the best defensive depth in this league. Of course, the Leafs can't claim that. They'd like to think they're better than many people say they are on the back end, but they're probably not that good considering they've given up 13 goals, the same amount as they've scored so far. You know, from your 30,000 foot view of this Leafs team, where do you see them in the pecking order of the East?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't think my view is much different from well, except for the 10,000,000 Leaf fans who believe that they can do no wrong and will score 7 goals a night, and John Tavares and Austin Matthews will be vying, you know, for 70 goal seasons. But now, like to me, I of course, who doesn't love the way they are going to attack games and their offense, and they're going to play exciting games. And I know Austin Matthews cups his hand to his ear 60 times this year. I'm okay with that. I love all of that. I love all of the excitement surrounding that. But at the end of the day, and come playoff time, and they, you know, I believe they're a playoff team. I don't think they'll win the division, so that means they're gonna, I think Florida's gonna surprise people. I think Boston's gonna be there. So it's no slam dunk, but they should be in the top 8 in the East. But, you know, come playoff time, we saw it against Boston last year, and we saw it a little bit against Washington 2 years ago. At some point, you're going to have to be able to win a game 3-2 or 2-1 in the playoffs if you want to go the distance or if you want to go to a conference final. And I don't see that defense. And frankly, I'm not even sure about the goaltending depth there because there's so much pressure on Frederik Andersen given sort of the way the defense is as it's constituted right now. I don't see that they're a team that could beat a Tampa in a 7-game series. I'm not sure they could beat a Boston right now. Maybe Florida, depending on their goaltending with Luongo out, but then you throw in Pittsburgh, you throw in, for me, Washington. Again, as you know, I like them to go back to a cup final. I don't, you know, where are they, 5th or 6th in terms of teams in the East where you say, well, okay, I could imagine them winning 3 playoff rounds to get to a Stanley Cup final, and I don't see how they could be any higher than that right now. And maybe they come together, maybe it happens organically, just with the group that they have. You know, maybe there's a way to find, you know, before the trade deadline. It's such a mug's game. I mean, early on, you see that Erik Karlsson has struggled with San Jose. You know, you can't just plug people in and hope that things happen, especially critical parts in terms of the defense. So I just don't think they're there yet. Maybe they get there in a year or two, but it sure is going to be fun to watch them. And who knows? The NHL's a more interesting place when the Leafs are good.
Sure.
Right? Like, that's, it just is. So it'll be fun to watch.
Scott, I think it's apropos today to end on a note about Robin Lehner. He wrote special to The Athletic, opening up about his addiction and bipolar diagnosis. And oftentimes when you can actually write and go public about your issues that you face on a daily basis, it can set you free to a certain degree. And today, Robin Lehner, I mean, he played great. Shut out the San Jose Sharks with his New York Islanders team. 4-0 was the final, becoming the first goaltender in Islanders history to post a shutout in their debut with that team. Just maybe a thought on how that piece, you know, really struck a chord with The Athletic readers and what it means for Robin today.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, obviously you hope that, whether it was The Athletic or anywhere else, but someone who has the courage to, you know, to lay bare their soul about something so personal and so difficult as obviously what Robin Lehner was going through the last few years, they deserve all kinds of support and all kinds of kudos. And really, I think, you know, I think these things are important because, you know, people who may be reading or following hockey or whatever, maybe they are inspired somehow to go and get help or to understand that it's not, you know, that they don't battle alone in these kinds of situations. And I think those kinds of stories, I mean, whether you win or lose, you know, those are important stories to tell, and kudos to Robin Lehner for doing so. But to come out and have those kinds of performance, that kind of performance that he did today, and for an Islander team, that's another team that, you know, I just didn't think they were going to be very good, and good for Barry Trotz to get that team off. You know, that's a hard summer for them, right? They lose John Tavares, who thought they were going to keep him. They're still in turmoil. You know, before they move into a new place, they're going to have a couple of years where it's still going to be very unsettled. And I think it's great that Robin Lehner has, you know, found a home there, got off on the right foot. And I think it must be inspiring for his teammates. And there's another team you mentioned last year, Colorado and New Jersey, teams that came out of nowhere. Yep. Really, you know, Vegas the same, chip on their shoulder the whole way. I'm sure the Islanders feel exactly the same way. And man, if Robin Lehner can provide that kind of quality and consistent goaltending, what a great story it's going to be. And here's to him for being able to share that. And here's to him for being, you know, having some early success for both himself personally and for the Islanders as a whole.
Great stuff, Scott. Great to catch up with you again at Overtime. Scott B, The Athletic national writer. Happy Canadian Thanksgiving, Scott. Really appreciate you taking some time today.
Anytime, guys.
Scott Burnside joining us right here on TSN 1050. I mean, that's the way that you want to write a story, and I think it's appropriate, you know, the game's played on Thanksgiving. You know, a lot to be thankful for in terms of Robin Lehner being able to see this through. I mean, so many times that story ends up in a much different place. And right now, a chance to write a new chapter in New York.
Yeah, it's hard not to be happy for him. I mean, that's an incredible tale. If you read that piece where he laid bare, as Scotty Burnside said, laid bare the details of his descent into dealing with addiction to alcohol, where he was drinking a case of beer a day, he said.
That's crazy.
Washing down the sleeping pills with his last beer before he went to bed, and then dealing with other mental health issues that, you know, made him feel like he wasn't himself and he needed to get help. And he did. He got the help he needed, and he's back in an NHL lineup getting a shutout in his Islanders debut. So far, so good. What a great story.
We will get to, it's kind of the opposite, and there's no transition from Lehner to what we're going to do next, because that's some real life problems. Now we're going to have some fun with Thanksgiving. Forget about the pie, forget about the turkey, forget about the stuffing. Well, hold on, let's focus on that turkey, because we're going to crown our biggest turkeys of 2018 from the world of sport, basically, and we might touch on beyond. Who are your biggest turkeys of 2018 thus far? At Wheeler TSN, the Texas 1050-50. We will crown the turkeys next. Wheeler and Fezchuk with you on a Thanksgiving Monday right here on TSN 1050. All right, 6:34 here on a Thanksgiving Monday. If you're driving, which you probably are, if you're listening right now, fog advisory all over the place. I know it's been really bad driving home from Collingwood last night through the hills of Caledon. And even today, coming from this morning, Kitchener, into the city, crazy fog, but now it's descended on the city. visibility in some areas just 100 meters. So if you're out on the road, just take it slow, be safe, make sure that you get wherever you need to be in a safe manner over the course of tonight. The weather is just crazy, Dave, with the fog rolling in. It's getting super warm.
I was
going
to say, it's going
tonight
up to, like, it's back to summer tomorrow, like up to 27 Celsius.
It's going to feel like 36 tomorrow and Wednesday. So just make sure that you take your time, be safe out there on the roads here tonight. I'm doing something for the first time tomorrow, by the way. I have not done all summer long. I think I'm going to go out and golf tomorrow. I haven't golfed once this summer.
What's wrong with you?
I honestly, living downtown Toronto, it's much more difficult to just go out and find time to golf. You need like 8 hours in terms of like going somewhere and spending time on the course and having a meal, then getting to wherever you need to be next. It's just time.
It's going to be more difficult if Jennifer Keysmaat wins the mayoral election. Did you see her platform on Twitter?
Well, that's not going to happen.
Let's close the golf courses.
Close the golf courses, knock down the gardener.
Yeah.
I think on air I endorsed John Tory at the Road Hockey to Conquer Cancer.
Did you? So, well, I don't endorse candidates. I just, I'm a golf guy, and right. I just don't see the point of, you know, closing golf courses.
Tory said, by the way, that he will not do that. He disagrees with that plan.
As do I.
There you go. John Tory standing up for the local golfer.
Exactly. Like, this idea that golf is an elitist sport. Have you ever been to Don Valley Golf Course, the city-run Don Valley Golf Course, which is a gem of a little golf
course? Yes.
It's not an elitist sport. That's the working person's golf course, where people without gobs of money who can't afford to join a private club can go golfing. And what is wrong with people being out for a nice 6 kilometer walk on a summer's day? I say nothing.
Living in this city, I'm not like, do you know what I need? More parks. Like maybe right downtown, but I live in the East End. There's plenty of parks to go to. Monarch Park's in my backyard. Cherry Beach is right there. I feel there's all kinds of places to go.
We need
places
more parks golf downtown. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Down to in the core, yeah, but no doubt. Where these golf courses are, like Scarborough, the West End, on that, like, they're fine.
And they're generally in river valleys. They're in floodplains where you can't develop properties anyways on a lot of the land. So I think they're doing just fine.
Take that, Keysmaat.
Well, hey, I mean, just be careful, because the golf lobby is, they may be small, but they're rich and they are vociferous. Let's say that.
I have no idea what vociferous means.
They're loud. They're loud, and they're not going to like the idea of closing all the golf
courses.
Hold on,
I knew what it meant. I just can't spell the word. That's what
I shouldn't have used
for.
It just popped into my massive brain wheels. I'm just so smart that I just can't use small words.
Elitist Dave Fezchuk over here.
Yeah, I'm just loud is just too small for me.
So we're going to dumb this down then. Get back to the Wheeler level here.
Okay, duh.
It's Thanksgiving.
Right.
And we're going to crown our turkeys of 2018. We have some music. We have a play-in in order for us to list off everyone we believe fits the bill as being a turkey from the world of sport and beyond for this calendar year. So let's kick it, Champagne Stevie.
Shake your left hand, gobble. Shake your right hand, gobble. Shake your tail now, gobble, gobble, gobble.
Is this the official Thanksgiving song? I've never heard this before. I'm typically used to the Adam Sandler.
A turkey for me and a turkey for you. We all eat turkey in a big round shoe. Okay, I like that one.
You know that one?
You're right, though. Of all the holidays, you know, Halloween has music that goes with it. Christmas, obviously, whatever. I think there's plenty of Jewish holiday traditional music. I'm not really familiar with all the religious holidays around the globe, but Thanksgiving doesn't really have music.
Right.
You don't think of music in Thanksgiving together.
This is our crowning of turkey music, okay?
Yeah.
You cool with that? Do you want a bat lead off here? Or do you want me to get at it?
You get after it. This is your idea. I love it. I'm on board, but I want to hear which direction you're going here.
I'll do a couple, then you do a couple.
Okay.
Bounce around back and forth. My first turkey is Brad Marchand. I mean, he's the turkey of all turkeys. Not for the way that he plays, but licking hockey players when you're on the ice. If there's ever a turkey move, it's that. But then I'm going to make Leo Komarov a turkey as well, because he didn't punch him in the face after being licked. So they're both turkeys in my mind.
Okay, I see where you're going with that. I mean, I don't like the antics either, but I must say, I love Brad Marchand because he brings something
licking,
to the NHL.
Licking
Look,
another human being.
I didn't love the licking, but I love the spirit with which Brad Marchand plays because it brings you back to another era where players were bad. They were mean.
Back in the day.
They had angst inside them that needed to be unleashed on the opponent.
And I remember back in the 1960s when Teeter Kennedy was licking.
Oh,
no!
That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm saying, Wheels, and you're Mr. Wait a second. This seems counter Wheels. It's almost like you're contradicting yourself.
I've never licked
you're
a human
being in sport. You're the guy that's always railing, and I love your railing against the no-hit league. I love the fact that you've gone on record many times and said you're against the fact that the NHL's gotten too soft.
Yep.
Well, Brad Marchand is exhibit A of a guy who's not soft.
He had me to licking.
Okay.
It's the licking.
It's the licking that you can't get past. He's only done it like twice.
Okay.
That I know of.
I'm also going to make Jalen Ramsey of the Jacksonville Jaguars a turkey because he thinks he can actually play hockey. Are you kidding me? You're big, you're strong. He might be
he was joking.
He might be joking, but behind every joke, there's that shred of truth.
Well,
and a little humility could work. Come on. I would love to see that cat on skates.
Let's go. It's preposterous. And I loved how, Jalen Ramsey is a very funny guy who loves to take the bleep out of teammates, opponents, other sports. That's great for sports. And I loved how all the NHL players that were asked about it took it super seriously and were highly offended that this guy thinks he can learn to skate in 6 months. Here's the thing, though. Like, we all know the barrier to entry in hockey is super high. You have to be skating since you were a young lad to be anywhere near good enough to play in the NHL. And that limits the pool of athletes. We don't get, genetic freaks in general playing hockey. So guys in the NFL, where genetic freaks rule, are looking at hockey, where Mike Babcock calls Zach Hyman a big body. And Zach Hyman's like an average... Hyman's a strong young man, but he's like 6'1", 6'2", 200 pounds. You know?
If he was walking by you in the mall,
that's not
you
a big
wouldn't
body.
Think, wow, look at that Adonis. That's what you're saying.
People in the NBA and the NFL look at hockey players that are called big bodies, and they laugh.
Yeah, no kidding. Let's continue with the turkeys. Whoever in the Colangelo family was running his burner accounts, that is the epitome of turkey. Really? You're that insecure that you need to pretend to be someone else, go online, and defend your own moves? What is up with that? These should be confident human beings, not someone that are going to, play down to the level of trolls online. It's insane to me. Kevin Durant was a turkey, but his burner account wasn't in 2018, or he'd make the list as well.
I'm with you on that. Look, I mean, we have a connection in this town to Brian Colangelo. He is a good man. I feel
turkey
bad.
Move.
I feel like he got the raw end of that deal. As much as the whole Twitter thing was silly and shouldn't have been done, I don't think it was a firing offense. I really don't. This idea that he divulged, undisclosed medical information on Twitter, it's nonsense because teams leak injuries all the time.
Turkey move.
And they leak medical records all the time when they want to disparage a player. So this stuff gets done all the time. It's a dirty business, and Brian Colangelo got the short end of that one.
Do you got some turkeys? Because I
got
keep
plenty.
On going. Go
I
ahead.
Got plenty. Okay,
get some off your tech.
Here's my number
go
one
rapid
turkey.
Fire here.
Here's my number one turkey. Eugene Melnyk. Okay.
Huge?
He got it off to a great start on New Year's Day when he threatened, not so subtly, that he might leave Ottawa if people don't start showing up to watch a terrible hockey team play. And then, of course, he has kept it going with his interview by his defenseman between two ferns.
I liked
that bizarre
it.
Scene.
I
you like
hey,
that.
Hey, with Eugene, can I just defend Ottawa? And I hate
Wait
that I'm defending Ottawa here.
Why are
they
you?
They made an Eastern Conference final in more recent vintage than anything that's gone on here in this city.
Well, that's fair.
They,
I'm not
less
saying
than
they did.
2 years ago, they were like a Stanley Cup contender.
They had the best defenseman on the planet playing for him, and now they just traded him for no apparent reason.
I'm not saying he doesn't have turkey qualities. I'm just,
Well, he's got plenty
scale
of turkey. Are you defending Eugene Melnyk?
A little.
Is that what's coming out of your mouth?
Defending you. Huge, just a little
this
bit.
You sound like a guy that eats cranberry apple pie on Thanksgiving.
What else you got? We got to roll through.
Well, in my other one, I got Jarrah Smith for forgetting the score.
Yes.
That's going to be on every blooper for all time.
And that tattoo without checking, Supreme, that's on his calf? He's going to cover it up?
Yeah, he's going to have to cover
it
up.
He is the gift of all turkeys, that guy, because he keeps on giving.
Yeah. He's, you know, you shake your head at JR, but he can shoot, and he's comical to have around. So he'll be in the NBA for a while yet. And my other one, Roberto Osuna. Watching Roberto Osuna playing for the Houston Astros, very difficult for Blue Jays fans to do right now. When you think of the potential he had right. to be a franchise closer, and because of his stupidity and lack of personal judgment, he's playing for another team now. And the Blue Jays have been deprived of his services.
Okay, we got to like fire through these. I got a bunch of turkeys that I got to get off my chest.
Eugene Melnyk not on the list.
Serena Williams is a turkey for that outburst at the U.S. Open. Get over yourself.
I'm with you on that one. I thought she got way too easy a ride and people defending her.
I know.
It was not about women's rights. It was about losing.
Exactly. So Serena Williams is a turkey. I'm going to pick out a men's tennis player just so I don't look like that guy. Nick Kyrgios having to be coached up by an umpire. That was lame.
Well, yeah,
he's a turkey.
He's hopeless. He's a lost cause.
How about the Raptors congratulating Dwayne Casey on Coach of the Year on Twitter after he was fired? Turkey move.
I don't know about that.
Steven Jackson versus Andrew Wiggins. Both of them are turkeys. Sergio Garcia's 15th hole at the Masters when he hit 5 straight shots into the water. Lay up, man. Lay up.
The defending champion.
Sergio.
He's the defending champion. He can do what he wants.
Turkey. Mickelson and hitting his putt at the U.S. Open instead of letting it roll, just hit it. Mickelson's an ultimate turkey with a body to match. That Tonga athlete who went topless at the Summer Olympics and then decides to do it at the Winter Olympics. It's winter, dude. Stop showing off. You're not better than us.
I was personally behind that. He oiled it up.
He's a turkey.
Hey, the guy was not going to get any publicity wearing a parka. Let's put it that way.
Well, yeah, shameless. Shameless. He was like basted
Tongan.
A turkey.
He's Tongan. He's looking for a sponsorship deal. Like, give the guy a break.
Again, turkey move. Neymar at the World Cup diving all around. Complete turkey when he didn't have to be. He could have soared like an eagle, instead rolled around.
Oh, because no soccer players roll around like turkeys.
Neymar was a bad one. Way too much time.
You're Mr. Soccer. Like, how many guys have done the exact same thing and you're singling out him?
He's the biggest star, or one of the biggest stars in the game. No need for that garbage. We got to go. Two more. Three more make that. Houston Rockets fans for going on Yelp and hitting out at Steph Curry's wife's new restaurant, giving it bad ratings.
Yeah.
Turkey move. John Gruden saying goodbye to Khalil Mack. What are you thinking? John Gruden is such a turkey.
He's making 10 mil. 10 schmil a year. How about that to coach that team?
And finally, I was defending the guy over the course of the Raptors run, even when he was getting fights with another bigger turkey in Kendrick Perkins. But Drake posing with the Ireland flag this weekend. You're not Irish. You're not Canadian. Trying to like get into the limelight that was coming Conor McGregor's way. Turkey move by our boy Drake.
Oh, because he's not a flag hopper, jersey hopper, bandwagon hopper. That's not Drake
at all.
That's
it, but that's why he's a turkey.
But he's been doing that his whole life.
Still another turkey.
He's consistent.
I thought he'd grown up and moved on.
That's all he does.
That was our Thanksgiving turkeys. And I'm probably the biggest one of them all.
Hey, by the way, what are the odds that Drake's got a Dagestan flag next match when Khabib's in the ring?
We'll see. We'll see. And I'm sure that Drake would jump into the ring and start throwing them as well.
Wouldn't that have been something?
Kendrick Perkins, Drake, UFC 230.
That
I can wrap my head around that.
That would have been good. I would have watched that.
We'll wrap up the show, let you know what's coming your way tonight, including what record Drew Brees is striving for right here on TSN 1050. Wheeler and Fezziuk, this is Overdrive. I think this has been a pretty successful Overdrive, Dave Fezziuk. Honestly, like, I know we're not Hayes, O-Dog, Noodles, but I thought we brought it today, dude. I think there's something here. We need a catchy name, and we can do a show together.
Maybe we just start, we'll just do what everybody else on the planet does, and we'll start like 5 podcasts.
Right.
5 different podcasts from us. We'll make a whole podcast company.
Done.
Because that's what people do nowadays.
Instead of mail it in Friday, we'll do email it in Friday. Like, we'll just like...
We'll get with the times.
We'll instead of Jerry's percentages, we'll call them Gary. Like, not Gary Bett, but Gareth Wheeler. Because some people call Garrett. You know,
there's
a guy that plays for the Toronto Wolfpack, by the way. We didn't bring this up. They lost the million pound game. The rugby team, the Wolfpack, at Lamport yesterday. If they won the million pound game, they would have got promotion to the top rugby league, basically in the UK. And they have a player on their team. His name's Gary Wheeler.
I saw that.
What?
Gary
Wheeler.
Dude,
that's my name. That's my thing.
Does anybody ever call you Gary, though?
No one.
Nobody calls you Gary.
Zero people in my life.
It would be wrong to call you Gary. It's
just sound weird.
But that Wolfpack, man, I tell you, that sounds like a phenomena that needs to be seen.
If you haven't been down, to Lamport Stadium. It's a lot of fun. Anyways, they don't get promotion, but a great year for the
World Pack. They don't get the £1 million, which is like 1.6?
Big money.
Canadian
big money.
Zingers.
Not as bad as it used to be. Just before we go, a couple injuries in the NHL. Former Maple Leaf Jameson Rijmsdijk out 5 to 6 weeks with a lower body injury. I still think the Leafs are going to miss JVR this year.
Yeah, 36 goals says they will.
Yeah, no kidding. And a big loss for the Panthers, Roberto Luongo out 2 to 4 weeks. Lower body injury.
Paging James Reimer.
Is that a good thing?
I love James Reimer as a guy, as a backup, but as my starter, don't know. I don't think it could be good for the Florida Panthers. They got to hope. Let's hope this isn't one of those Roberto Luongo doesn't need surgery right now, but in 4 weeks when he comes back from injury, oh yeah, now he needs surgery. That Panthers fans better, Panther fan better hope.
Better that hope guy, not. That guy
in, you know, Aventura, Florida, that goes to all the games.
So look, there was expectations for this Panthers team, but without their top goaltender, good luck. We'll say that, and we'll see if it's anything more serious. Sabres did win today. If you're looking at the Atlantic Division, Red Wings play a little bit later on tonight for the against the Anaheim Ducks, and the Maple Leafs back in action tomorrow night at 8:30 from Dallas. You can watch on TSN 4.
Can they win in something that's not a shootout? Mike Babcock wants to know.
I want to know. I'm not counting the Maple Leafs as having a win until they do it in regulation. I'm standing by that, Dave.
Yeah, well, that's not the way it works, but I get where you're coming from. Even though we vehemently disagree on the merits of 3-on-3, I think this team should hope for more overtime games because they're going to wax anybody in 3-on-3 with this type of talent.
No kidding. This was a lot of fun. Happy Thanksgiving to you. Get home safe, okay? And look forward to doing this again.
Enjoy your apple cranberry pie, my man.
It'll be delicious. He is Dave Fezchuk from the mighty Toronto Star. Read his fine work at thestar.com. I am Gareth Wheeler. I'm back tomorrow night for in-game Maple Leafs coverage from 8 p.m. right here on TSN 1050. Thanks to John Whaley, Keith Bauer, Champagne Steve, Eliopoulos. I am Wheels. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Monday Night Football coming up at 8 p.m. It is the Redskins and Saints right here on TSN 1050.